May you have people in your life who see all your good and wacky, mature and ridiculous, funny and ludicrous, and still jump up to give you a big hug when they see you. COVID safe, of course. Hello and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, I interview peak performing innovators in the creative, social impact, and earth conservation spaces who are working to change the world. This episode is brought to you by Brain FM. Brain FM combines the best of music and neuroscience to help you relax, focus, meditate, and even sleep. I love it and have been using it to write, create, and do some of my deepest work. Because you're a listener of the show, you can get a free trial. Head over to brain.fm/innovativemindset to check it out. If you decide to subscribe, you can get 20% off with the coupon code innovativemindset, all one word. And now, let's get to the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg, and I am super grateful that you have taken the time to spend a little bit of it with me today. On my mind today is friendship and interpersonal relations. If someone invites us to an event, we assume that they want us there. They want who we are, the way we interact, how we listen, and how we contribute to the occasion, and actively wish to spend time with us. Sometimes people invite us out of a sense of obligation. We know the same people, we were there when the invitation was extended to someone else, etc. But I believe that most often people invite us because they genuinely want to see us and interact with us. Those of us who are lucky have friends who love us and want our energy, conversation, wit, actions, etc. present at the occasion. They love us for who we are and exactly what we'll bring. Other times, things are a little murkier. We might not be sure of our welcome. So if you're not sure of your welcome, how will you behave? Will you go and just be yourself? Or will there be any motivation to be on sort of your best behavior? I'm way lucky to have my sisters, Emily and Golda, as dear friends. I can be myself, bad jokes, arguing philosophy, geeking out on astronomy or literature or music, spouting random movie quotes, singing old songs for no reason other than it's fun, etc. And I know I'll be welcomed. That's lovely. Then there are people like the fab Kristen, who is my sister from another mister. She's my best friend. Over the last 20 years, she has shown me such love and friendship that it's hard to describe. Suffice to say, she not only accepts me and my friendship, she celebrates it. She is a treasure. And then there are people like the excellent Jake and Zarmina, who are friends I hardly ever see, and with whom Rich and I finally got to hang out. I actively would love to be better friends with them, but we don't see them often. We don't live near each other. But they too, regardless, when we do see each other, they're welcoming and fabulous, and I get to say what I think, and we listen to each other and generally have an amazing time. Fantastic and wonderful individuals indeed. I'm blessed that I have many other people in my life who fill my heart and make me laugh and with whom I can share grand adventures. Really, I recognize that I'm blessed. And then there are those people who are still new. And that's happened a lot since we moved to New York City, right? Because we honestly, as I've said on recent episodes, I don't see the people I knew who lived in New York before we moved. I don't see them, really, hardly ever at all. Once every 6 months or something like that. So most of the people who are now in my life are new people. And with those new people, we're sometimes... sometimes on my best behavior. And that brings me to the long and winding point of this episode. When we're invited out by friends, when we make plans, when we go places and do things with people, how often do we get to be ourselves? And how often do we go on our, quote, best behavior, unquote? When I was a kid, my parents threw a lot of parties, a lot of gatherings. The adults would get together, my mom would make food, and we'd eat, drink, sing, make merry. When the adults gathered, the women would invariably end up in the kitchen, chatting, cooking, putting the finishing touches on the meal, and the men would head to the basement to talk and play pool. I gravitated towards the men. I talked and listened, mostly listened, as they sparred and discussed and debated the issues of the day, and I played a whole lot of pool. The men mostly seemed to enjoy my company, because I was a well-read kid and I could debate current events pretty well, even as a 10-year-old. I figured out how to behave around the adults pretty quickly and put that knowledge to good use with my friends' parents as well. I was punctual to a fault even as a child and would arrive at friends' houses on time. So when my friends weren't yet ready to do the thing we'd planned to do, I'd hang out with their families. They were super kind. I remember one time the excellent Sarah's family invited me for dinner. Her wonderful father was asking us questions about school and what we knew. He asked, and this was, I was about 9 years old, just so you know. He asked, whose face launched 1,000 ships? And without missing a beat, I answered, General Douglas MacArthur. Now, I knew it was Helen of Troy, but the joke was too irresistible to pass up. Both he and Sarah's mom guffawed, and he said, "You're going to make a great orator someday." That was one of my proudest moments as a 9-year-old. Later, my friend Cecile's family welcomed me, and I got to discuss law, politics, music, philosophy, and science with adults who didn't mind a 14-year-old's opinions. And for that, I'll be honest, I'm going to be forever grateful because they helped me be comfortable and socialized in a culture that sometimes mystified, and frankly, still mystifies me, as an immigrant. Sometimes I look at the culture I've been living in for almost 50 years and still go, huh? So, on some level, that's just how it's, I think, always going to be. But still, regardless of how comfortable you are with them, when you're around parents and grown-ups as a child, you remain on your best behavior. You're polite, you don't interrupt, you listen, you speak when you have something thoughtful to say. You're yourself, but you're a more polished, maybe more mature version of yourself. As you get older and grow, you become more self-aware and you develop good habits and bad habits in your interpersonal relationships. Some people will become such friends that you can always be yourself. You will mesh with one another and feel like you can say and be anything. While your friendship might wax and wane, you will always be true to who you are with them. Other people will necessitate your, quote, best behavior, unquote. You will always sit just a little straighter. You'll remember your manners just a little bit more, and you'll be just a little uncertain of your welcome. This is not a horrible thing, but it does make me wonder, how often do we do that? How often do we consciously realize that we'll need to be on that best behavior in a social situation versus just being ourselves? Are there times when we perhaps should be, but aren't? Are there times when we don't need to be, but are? And do friendships become real and true only when we feel that sense of peace and relaxation with those friends, when we let that best behavior guard down? Because in the end, if someone invites you to an occasion or an event, it doesn't mean that they want the you are there. I mean, doesn't that mean that? Doesn't that mean that they have thought about it and decided your energy, your presence, your contributions will be desirable? Or is it all less purposeful than that and people just say, sure, come on by, without much thought about whether or not they actually want to see you and spend time with you? Those of us who have the kind of friends with whom we can be ourselves are lucky. We found the people who will not only put up with us, but will appreciate and even celebrate who we are. Considering the wacky stuff that swirls around inside of everybody's heads and sometimes slops out into the outside world, it's a miracle we find anyone who'll do that. Because we're all like that. We all have amazing and wacky, brilliant and ridiculous, gracious and awkward, incredible and frightful, pedantic and insightful stuff swishing inside our heads. And then, when we find the people who see all that stuff and raise their hands for a big old high five, we know we've come home. That, I think, is my wish for you. May you have people in your life who see all your good and wacky, mature and ridiculous, funny and ludicrous, and still jump up to give you a big hug when they see you. COVID safe, of course. Because you are. You are all lovable. We are all lovable for our thoughts, feelings, contributions, strengths, and frailties. We all deserve to be loved and celebrated for our good conversation and our questionable puns, for our vital contributions, and for our silly adventures. All of it, the entire package, is worthy of friendship and of love. It is something to think about, isn't it? How often do we do that? And how often do we feel worthy of that love? Hopefully, always, but I have a feeling that that's just not the case. And I'm going to keep working on it. I hope you will too. And if I'm wrong, if you're like, I always feel at home, I would love to hear about that from you because that would be super cool. I don't. I usually feel like a fish out of water pretty much everywhere I go, even though I'm usually purposeful in what I'm trying to achieve. So it works out okay. But part of it, I think, is always going to be my immigrant status, if you will, because I'm an immigrant, because I spent so much time assimilating into so many different cultures when I was very young. I'm both a citizen of the world and a citizen of nowhere, if you will. So I always feel just a little bit other. And for the most part, I'm just fine with that. It's totally cool to be other, because that means I get to really experience the joy and the laughter and the adventure and even the sorrow in my own unique way, just like I think we all do. Alrighty, I hope, as I said, you've enjoyed today's episode. I am Isolde Trachtenberg, reminding you that this episode is brought to you by Brain FM, my favorite little app. If you head over to the show notes, if you want to try it to see how it can help you meditate and focus and create and finish work, especially work you don't want to do, that you need to do but maybe don't want to do, you can grab yourself 20% off coupon by going to brain.fm/innovativemindset and then putting in innovative mindset as the coupon code, and you'll get 20% off. And because I'm an affiliate link, I might get a wee commission. Alrighty. And oh yeah, I should also say that this episode is brought to you by my Patreon account, and that is patreon.com/IsoldeT. I hope. I can never remember. I'm going to put the exact link in the show notes so that if you want to support the show and support this work on innovation, communication, collaboration, and creation, I would love it and I would be honored if you did. Until next time, this is Isolde Trachtenberg once again reminding you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2021. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you.